Remember, we're on this journey trying to understand what is it, does it mean to be a disciple? And once we become a disciple, part of that agreement is Jesus wants us then to make disciples. And all of us here can do that by the power of God. It's amazing we have a woman who can't read, who still gets Bible studies done by bringing a Bible and having somebody else read. And her teammate in ministry is blind. And so God using all people to accomplish his mission. You, by the power of God, will be, and many of you already are, prepared to assist God or working with him in making disciples. So when we talk today, remember, we're talking about how do we help a newer Christian come to grips with what does it mean to have fellowship? A little bit about the church. I chose to focus more on fellowship because we talked about the church not too long ago. And in the conversation between Owen and Peter, and Owen is the new Christian, he's asking the question about church. Do I really need to go to church? Well, yes. Well, can I get an amen for Owen? Thank you. I like that. And by the way, I don't have our texting questions in. And so along the way, if you have a question, you can just go ahead and ask me, because in our size of group, it's a little easier to do that than in second service. But if I say, is going to church important to Owen, the terminology is a little bit funny. I would not sweat this terminology, though, with Owen. But just so we see it in a different light, when we say, is going to church important, it would be like saying, is going to football players important? Does that make sense to you? Yeah, you hate football. Okay, yes. Okay, now we're all getting a little bit more honest together. This is good. This is good. We're going to have another breakthrough soon. Because we don't go to football players, we go to a game. You see, the football player is the team. And so just in a technical sort of way, which I think is important for us down the road, is that we don't go to church. We go to a church gathering where we worship and learn together. Some of the terminology is it important to participate in the church? Because the church are the called out men and women, boys and girls of God, who have chosen to follow Jesus. The church is a group of people who want to be distinct and known as the people of God. And define what it means to be a people of God who live by faith in God. And by the virtue of that life, we should be bringing hope. The church, started by Jesus, not by a man. The Apostle Paul didn't found the Christian church. Peter didn't found the Christian church. Jesus founded the Christian church. Jesus bought the church with his own blood. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the leader. He's the king of the church, the president of the church, the emperor of the church, whatever terminology you want to use, he's all of that and more. It's his church. Together, we are servants of God. Together, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, sons and daughters of God. We're part of that family. So the question really becomes, is it important to participate in the church? And the resounding answer is, oh yeah, of utmost importance. In my own theological world, I do not see how we can be a follower of Jesus and not be part of the church. And perhaps as we go through this, it will become clearer. We're going to be talking about fellowship today. And fellowship means having something or sharing in common. It also means partnership in a very simple sort of way in the world of business. So back in that day, when somebody went into business together, they were going into fellowship together. They were having a common vision for what this business should be. They're sharing the profits and the losses of the business. They're sharing the successes and the failures of the business, the ups and downs of the business. I know of two men who started a business together who were brothers, and after they started sharing all this stuff together, they found out that they're not good business partners together. They're better off just as brothers, because that sharing of the business becomes deeply personal, because now my financial status depends on you. The success of our business depends on you and me, and that can bring a lot of discomfort into those connections. You see, fellowship is about sharing life together. And it takes a long time to build a strong connection in sharing that life together. One of the greatest challenges that you and I are facing in our culture today is we generally run in the sight of challenges and close the business down rather than working through them in order to build up the body and to strengthen the church and the fellowship and to be committed to one another. Some of the greatest things we will learn about ourselves and one another is that when we stick together through difficult times together, we will experience the grace and goodness of God in new ways. Often, we run too soon before God has moved and revealed himself and his power in new ways. The description of this fellowship is found in 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. I just want to pause for a moment. Eternal life, according to verse 2, is the person of Jesus Christ, who is with the Father before he came here, and eternal life made an appearance on earth. So if we want eternal life, we've got to know Jesus. Verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And now this fellowship here, you got to get this picture. And I tried to think in word pictures as I was doing this, because he says, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. We're sharing this life, his life together. And we're inviting you to come into this and share in this together. So one of the visuals I was thinking about, you know how ropes are braided together, but each one of those strands is made up of littler strands, and it's as though that we're sharing this life, and God, the Father, and the Son, they're woven into this braid, we're woven into this braid, and new people, but yet it's more than that. The Father and Son living and moving among us. And that's an essential part of Christian fellowship, by the way. Christian fellowship is just not people getting together to do something. Christian fellowship is defined by the presence of God among his people. It's when God is present that Christian fellowship is happening, because the Father and the Son are there together. But I thought, well, you know, that intertwining, that's not quite enough. So this is what I thought about next was, a man invited his friends to come over to his new pool to jump in together. They all jumped in together into this pool, and now they are immersed in the waters of this pool. And the waters surround them. The waters change how they interact with one another. They are just completely immersed in this water. And the visual of the water and in it and surrounded and immersed is this fellowship presence that we have with God. And it also comes to mind the waters of baptism. We jump in this together. You see, fellowship is being immersed in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's where our life is. And we invite others to jump in with us. Fellowship, a sharing of life, partnering together with a common cause and a common purpose to know Jesus and to fulfill his mission of making disciples. What was happening in the early church when it came to fellowship? What was it they were sharing together? I'm not going to read the passage out of Acts chapter 2. We dealt with that not too long ago, a few months back. But they devoted themselves to something significant. They committed themselves to be together. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to. And then it makes a list of things. And I think if those are the things that they were committing themselves to back in that day, how much more important for our fellowship today do we need to commit ourselves to these? They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching. We talked about the scriptures and the Bible and the inspiration that God is, or the inspiration that is behind the scriptures is God, that he breathed these into existence. And one other question we had, somebody wrote in and said, how do we know about the New Testament being scriptures? Because the New Testament refers to the Old Testament scriptures. Well, one answer that I forgot to give you was, I think it's safe to say that the teachings of Jesus, his words, would easily be considered scripture from God. It's an easy jump. But they committed themselves to that. Whatever Jesus taught, they were committed to it. So as a young disciple now, think of Owen. Is it important to participate in church? Yes, Owen. The first important point is, it is so important because we have fellowship with one another, but our fellowship is we're immersed in the presence of the triune God together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's part of the fellowship. We're in this together. Next, we want to be devoted to one another. We want to be devoted to learning the scriptures. The second part is they were devoted to the fellowship. And in that, if you were to read in Acts chapter 2, that their commitment to one another was astounding. We had seen it in how they loved one another. They were selling their property. In our day and age, take it for what it's worth, that we're offering buying property to sell it later at a profit so we can retire comfortably. But they were committed to the Lord. They were committed to one another. And in that context, they were selling their property in order for others within the fellowship to have a place to live and food to eat. It reminds me of Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. When everyone else is selling, Potter's buying because he wants to dominate. They had fellowship with one another. They were breaking bread together. And if you go down into verse 46, we find two ways that they were breaking bread. There was the breaking of the bread, and then they were eating together. They were sharing in the broken body of Christ and remembering his death together, but they were also sharing meals together. Owen, it's so important to share meals and to share life with somebody else. It's so important for you to remember the death of Jesus and for us to do that together. Prayer. They were praying together. Owen, as a young disciple, it's important that you not only learn how to pray on your own, but you learn how to pray together. And it says that they were doing these things in the temple courts in a larger gathering, but also meeting in their homes. Owen, it's very important to do these things. Had some interviews or some teaching last week I was part of. A man was leading us through a process, and somebody asked him, you know, what's your definition of what it means to for church growth? because over the last 40, 50 years, it's always been about numbers getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He had a different view of it, and one that I really like and embrace. He goes, it's not about numbers getting bigger and bigger. Church growth is about creating an environment that is conducive for spiritual growth and conducive for people to come to know Jesus. You see, to me, that puts a whole different twist on what we're really trying to accomplish. But I think we were kind of there anyway. Owen, we want to create an environment for you where you can learn, where you can connect with others, where you could break bread and share meals, and you could pray together. And by the way, in verse 47, what ends up happening is that the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, when the church was the church, God did his work. It's always very clear, God makes the church grow. We do not. But when the people of God do the will of God, it seems like God increases his church more readily. Sometimes I think the reverse of that and think, oh, wait a minute. If God is not causing us to grow, why is he not entrusting us with people? The Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So, Owen, those would be important parts for you to remember. Owen, there's a couple things, three things that are very important for you to be doing, and I'll just mention about three things that make it difficult, but three things that are important to be a part and participate in the church. Now, we got to look at ourselves as those who give and those who receive in these settings. Why is it so important? And this would have been on day three, question one in your discipleship booklet as you're learning or going through that and learning. One is about the agreement in prayer. That the Bible talks about where two or three are gathered and agree on anything, I will do it. If you're alone, you can't agree with two or three. There seems to be some sort of connection when the people of God pray together, God answers more powerfully. I don't know why. But it seems that it was important enough for the New Testament church to be established in a prayer time together. It builds up. So it's important for us to be a contributor to that prayer. It's important for us to be recipients of that prayer. One of the most convincing arguments for me, and this is going to be with point two, about why I believe that you can't really be a follower of Jesus and not participate in a church. Don't say to me, well, what if you were like Tom Hanks and you ended up on a deserted island because your plane crashed and you were the only person there and your only friend was a ball, was it named Spalding? A ball named Spalding. Okay, in the extreme examples, we're not going to go there. But as a follower of Jesus, all of us have been given spiritual gifts and abilities to use for the building up of the church. Now, if you have been given gifts and abilities by God himself to contribute to the building up of the church, how can we make a leap in logic and say, I don't have to be part of the church to follow and obey Jesus? Did that just go dark? Okay, that was a little bit weird. But I'm okay. I'm teaching truth, I guess. And so we're having a weird morning technologically. In practice, we move the projectors, and all of a sudden, the words are off the screens, and the lights are blinking. Anyway, let's not get overly distracted. So God has given those to you. Now, at Morningstar, we have a class called Network for you to be able to go to and to discern, Lord, what are the gifts and the abilities that you have given to me? It's about a 6 to 7 week process class that you go to and participate in to understand, Lord, where am I to serve? But you have been given spiritual gifts and abilities in order to contribute to the body. All of us are also in a position to receive when others are serving. So if somebody is not serving according to their gifts and the abilities, the whole body suffers. But the whole body is blessed when we do. From Galatians chapter 2, bear one another's burdens. Why is it so important for us to participate in a church? Because life is heavy. I don't know anybody who does not go through tough stuff. I was glad to hear you wake up in the middle of the night, Arun, because I wake up in the middle of the night and then I think, man, maybe I don't have enough faith to just trust God. I feel better. And I'm talking to other leaders who think, and well, they're up in the middle of the night too. You're up in the middle of the night. Some of you anyway. You know, why do we participate? Because I need to be able to help somebody who's struggling with a heavy load. Got a lot of rocks in their backpack, and it's weighing them down. And God has called us to bear the load of those rocks for one another. Sometimes we're helping to carry the load, and other times we're the one with the backpack full of rocks on our back. And we need somebody. And the longer you and I are together, the deeper and more significantly we can bear the rocks for one another. You know how cool it is as a pastor to hear? We had a lady who went into surgery. I don't always get to the hospital. We need to be in this together. But I ended up going to the hospital downtown, kind of serious surgery. And I went in there and said, you know, how you doing, da-da-da. If you ever go to the, don't be afraid to ask how people are doing. I know it's kind of obvious, but they want to talk about it, and it's okay. You can't fix it anyway, right? So just ask, how you doing, and let them speak. I always want to know, though, are you being cared for? Well, I found out that the night before the surgery, there was a group. It was a woman. Because you'll know why it's important that it was a woman. There was another group of women who went over there with handmade bracelets with scripture verses, praying over her, getting her ready for the next day, blessing and supporting. I'll ask other people, have you been cared for, the crisis they're walking through? Oh, yeah, people are in contact. Now, I know people fall through the cracks. I understand that. But in an increasing sort of way, we are experiencing more significant ways of bearing one another's burdens, which is why it is so important to be part of the church. Helping somebody carry the load. Bear one another's burdens. But Owen has some challenges with the church. Things that can make it difficult to be a member and participant in a church. The three that the book lists out, I'm sure there's more. And there's more good reasons to belong too. But a lack of forgiveness. False expectations. The biggest word we still hear today is, oh, the church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Could you show me one organization, just one, that doesn't have somebody who struggles with being 100% consistent every day, every moment, their whole life? If we would take this into a much greater level, none of us would be living in the United States because most of the time people are saying our leaders are a bunch of hypocrites. So why do we continue to live here? Are there hypocrites in the church? Sure there are. Do you and I mess up? Sure we do. See, the issue is not about just absolute, you know, perfection from us. What we need to do is to be honest about who we are and the mistakes that we've made. That goes a long, long way. I will never be perfect as a pastor, as a person. But in the midst of it, what I ask from you is what you ask from me and others, is grace. Grace to share this life together. Grace to make it together. It's been said tongue-in-cheek so many times, church would be great if it weren't for the people. But you know what? You and I are in it together. We have so much to learn. I'm a better man today because people stuck it out with me. Let's stick it out together. Hold on together and support and care for one another through it all. The third thing they listed out too was this whole issue of bitterness. But I think it's so much related to a lack of forgiveness. We stew on the stuff. We think about the stuff. We remember how much we've been hurt and how much people have hurt us, rather than just agreeing with God, saying, okay, Lord, you died for them. They belong to you. You already paid for their sins. Lord, help me to see them through your eyes. Lord, reach into my heart and rip out these roots of bitterness because I don't want them anymore. I don't want to dwell on that stuff. So, Owen, yes, it is difficult. And yes, there'll be some relational issues along the way. But it's part of us growing up together and sharing life together. That's what fellowship is about. Let's do it well. So, Owen, there are three connections that you really need to make. And these connections, by the way, they didn't have it in the book, are connections that the Apostle Peter had in his life that I believe that God used in transforming sorts of ways. Three of them. Think of them from the perspective as a recipient and also a contributor. The large group, Sunday morning. This is what we most often think about when we say going to church, this event. But this is only one thing that the church does together. It's worship. The old word, and some still use the word, is when we come together, they would go through a liturgy, which means the work of the people. I don't want it to make it sound like a cumbersome job. But your job and my job, our work, is to be great worshipers of God, joyful in heart, expressing our praise. I believe, this is a side note for you, that the worship movement in the United States and around the world that began in the 1970s influenced us to a point of making Sunday morning the main event. And that's the only thing we really need to be a strong church. If we could have a good Sunday morning, if we can get people to feel something on some Sunday morning. Now, our gatherings are essential, but they are only a part of what is essential. We need to worship Jesus as followers of Jesus. We also need to be biblically literate. We also need, and we'll talk about them, groups. We also need to be serving, and we also need to be witnessing. So let's give worship its proper place. Should we worship God? Absolutely. Do we need to gather as the people of God to express our praise and to declare his worth? Absolutely. But it's only one component. Now the next one you've known, because if you've had any time here at Morningstar, you know I've been beating this drum for 8 years, and I'm going to beat it for the next 8 years. And we're going to get better at this yet. We're okay at it, but we got a lot of room to grow. But it's small groups. I want to ask you to pray about something about small groups. A number of people have talked to me, a number, 3, 4, 5, I can't remember, about when we come to Morningstar, you know, we come and, you know, on Sunday morning, but it's really hard going from Sunday morning and to somebody's house in a small group that we don't know. So between the hands is what I want you to be praying for. Lord, help us as a church to create avenues, relationships into small groups. I hope you take that serious and pray that God begins to work in some very clear ways. So important to be in cell groups and small groups. You and I can interact on a Sunday morning like this here, but real transformation happens in smaller groups. It's in the group where we give and receive pastoral care to one another. We pray for one another. We talk and encourage one another. We build one another up. And if you ever started off in a group, they start off slowly. You know, you don't go in there and say, oh, man, all the prayers are going to be, this is going to be. It takes time to build relationship. Stick it out. Contribute. See what God does. The last one, Owen. So you want to participate with the church and worship together. You want to be part of a small group together. And then one-on-one discipleship, Owen. One day you will be discipling somebody. Be a disciple, make a disciple. That's what we're learning about now. We have a lot of room to grow in this. All of us do. But if the Lord sends people our way, and he begins to add daily to our numbers, wouldn't that be cool to see a day? I'm only shooting for every month so far, and then every week, and then every day, where people are coming to know Jesus through this ministry. That when he sends them, we're prepared to disciple them. And pretty soon we're going to have about 150 to 200 people who are ready to do that. Fellowship. What's your commitment to the fellowship? What's your commitment to Morningstar? I heard this illustration a long time ago. Pretend this is a much smaller white cloth as we think about fellowship and what's going on here. Now, if this was much smaller, I'd be able to tuck it in. Maybe I'll do this at dinner anyways. And so what does this become for me? It's a bib, right? Feed me. I got my bib on. Give to me. I want everything. Can you just help me? But if we were to take this same cloth and we would begin to put it over our arm like this, what does this mean? I'm here to serve. God has placed a cloth in your hands as part of this church. At times we do need this, but we all must move to this here. Just in your heart and mind, what is your relationship to Morningstar? This or this? Where do you want it to go? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we get to swim together in the water of your presence, in living water. We pray that the evidence of your presence will be real among us. Lord, may we be a body of believers, a fellowship, a family that loves you deeply and cares and supports and loves one another deeply. Lord, may we become the fellowship that you desire us to be. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come in at this time. We have a closing song. I'm going to ask you to stand together at this time. Just prepare your heart and mind. Let's worship together and surrender together to the fellowship God has for us.